Dylan, Jules and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.
In life, you run your own gold medal race. Sure, Dylan's gold medal race actually comes with a medal. Yes. Dylan Alcott, of course. But in when you're not an athlete, when you don't have anything past a year 12 education, sometimes you've just got to take your own gold medal or a participation award with the small wins in your life.
Yeah.
Now, I imagine for those in lockdown as well, when you just do something, if you accomplish anything in the day, whether it be making the bed, that's a small win.
Yeah.
Because sometimes motivation isn't there. You don't even know what day it is.
I know, right?
So I want to talk about small wins on 131060 because I've got one this week. And it actually genuinely got me aroused.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
It shouldn't have. But I, when you, look, I'm a dad now and sometimes I wear sneans, which is sneakers and jeans.
Yeah, but that's a trendy thing.
Yeah, I haven't got my New Balance out yet, but I'm full dad mode at the moment. I've got the dad bod, I've got my sneans on, and I get excited about really rational things. One is well-manicured lawns.
Oh, yeah.
Genuinely horny for a good front lawn.
Oh, whoa, okay. You know there is a Facebook page called Lawn Porn.
I follow it.
Ah, of course you do. I'm surprised you're not the creator.
But there was a thing this week that happened, and I just got way too much satisfaction out of it. Now, Tuesday night at our place is bin night, and we really need recycling to be weekly, not fortnightly. Now, I say that because I'll try and justify it. We had a pram box, so we got the upper baby Vista, and that's a big pram, right? And it came with an accessory.
So big boxes.
Boxes on boxes.
Yep. Do you have a normal size recycling bin?
That's what I'm talking about. I got the small bin. Now, I've talked about bin etiquette before. For the older residents who have been in the suburb for a long time seem to somehow weaseled their way into having two bins or the large bins.
Yeah.
I've got those thin little bins and it's not enough for me. Emily also, my partner, got a jungle gym essentially for little Lindy, my 7-month old. So that was a big box. Mm-hmm. And then to be honest, a lot of them are just from the wine store because when I leave with 3 or 4 bottles, they offer me a box to leave with.
They do.
Because it's hard to carry 4 boxes. Okay. Leave me alone. So I really needed the double day.
Yeah.
And so this week I put out the bins Tuesday morning and I hear it come down the street. And I know it always comes to my side of the street first.
Right.
Picks it up, puts it in. Now I'm watching like a Karen through the blinds, the Venetian blinds. I've pulled them down. And if you're looking from the on street, it looks like I'm just a peering little neighborhood watch person.
Wait, is it still dark or is it?
No, it's about 11 a.m.
Oh, okay.
But I've only just woken up. And I'm peering through and then as soon as he goes around the corner, knowing I've got about a 3-minute window, I run out. I've already rehearsed this. I put all the boxes in, a couple of bottles of Shiraz, and then I rush it back over the other side of the street and there I go back down to my little hidey hole and I peer through my Venetians and I watch.
Wait, you go and put it on the neighbour's side, like across the road?
Yes, I did. And guess what?
What?
Bin day.
Yeah.
And I can't even tell you. I demanded from Emily when I walked in, who was feeding my child, I demanded that she hold onto the child while bottle feeding her to give me knuckles because I was so excited for the accomplishment of double bin day. And so that was my small win, 131060.
Well,
I want to hear everybody else's, including yours.
That. Is that the most exercise that you do during the, like, during on
you
the Tuesday?
You fat shamed me once on this show this morning. I know there's 800 calories in a bottle of wine. I'm struggling. Jules, I thought we were talking about small wins. I thought people would call up and say, I finally finished the laundry basket, the hamper that never seems to empty. I did it all during the week. But no, this seems to now be turned into a segment that I can't even gleefully about to ready to enjoy, which is just bin chat.
Are we really? Because you did just explain that you had a small win during the week about, you know, doing a double bin day. Your bin got collected and then you filled it back up and ran across the other side of the road.
I did. And I got, not only did I get double recycling, but I got double bins. It was actually quadruple. Oh my God. Sorry. It is actually a real sense of satisfaction to get that and to clean out the side area where I get the bins where I've been storing up, you know, all of my boxes.
Mate, I can see clean. And feel the passion from you.
Well,
jeez.
Margaret in New South Wales, you wanted to just talk about bins. Let's do it. What's your story?
I heard your story and I thought it was hilarious and I could totally relate to you. I just wanted to tell you how much you made me laugh this morning in the car. I just so funny. You made my morning. I could not stop laughing with your story.
Does it inspire you, though, to maybe do a double binder?
Because I've done it. I've done it already.
Was it dark or did you do it during the day? Was it light?
Early morning. Okay.
See, that the last suburb that I lived in, the old mouldy house that I had, that was a 4 a.m. garbage pickup. Now I've got a comfortable 11 a.m. So there's no running out and jocks if I hear the garbage man at 4 a.m. Yeah.
Really see, that's the thing, though. I would rather do it at 4 a.m. so no one could see me do it than 11 a.m.
No, because I'm in like a young family area now.
Okay.
And I genuinely think from other men with jeans and sneakers, like other dads across the road, if they see me through, they go, he's done it. Lucy in Queensland, bin chat, what do you want to talk about?
Oh, no, I just want to say I do that all the time as well. Oh. But I usually forget my bin and I wake up at like 7 o'clock hearing it come down the street.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm running out and I've missed it. And I'm on the other side of the road giving that bin man that awkward, like, I've forgotten it again. Look.
No.
You know the worst thing about that is like half the if you do that and you've just woken up, you've got no bra on either, and you're just like you're trying to pull the bin, you've got your arms across your boobs trying to hold everything in.
I've set an alarm. I've got a weekly occurrence for a Monday night alarm. 6:30 PM it goes off and it's a gleeful reminder that I need to fill the bins, put them out. But then I'll also survey if it's gonna be a double bin day. So not this week coming, next Tuesday coming. It's not going to be a double bin day, but the one
look
after.
Look how flat you are that it's not coming.
Well, I mean, I just have to drink more wine.
Another week.
Andrea and Bendigo, you want to talk bins? What do you got?
Oh, I've got a similar story to you, but mine's with the green bins.
Hang on, stop. Beautiful to have a green bin, a compostable bin for your greens. I mean, I don't have enough lawn or a lawn mower, a Victor, to celebrate that with you, but tell me about it.
Okay, so I'd chopped down a tree in my yard.
Yeah.
Of course, I couldn't fit it all into my bin.
No.
So that night I went out and I checked all of the neighbours' bins that had their bins out.
Yeah.
And I snuck at those ones who had room and filled up their bins and then put some in my bin, but I still had some left over.
Mm.
So I waited until the truck came and emptied all of the bins on my side of the street, and I did the same thing and filled the rest of it up and ran it across the road to the neighbours.
Love it.
Yeah. It was,
I'm okay with that as a neighbour. I'm totally okay with that. If I've got room and you need to put it in, go for it.
I've got a Tommy Teepee, which is, for parents who know, that is a nappy disposable bin where you put your dirty nappy in, you spin the wheel, and locks off the next one and it keeps going with like, and it's got nice scented bags.
Yeah.
And it was about 3 weeks ago that I realised that I hadn't emptied the Tommy Teepee. And so I went over to my neighbour, number 20. And I dropped it in the top of his bin.
No, see that? I draw the line there. Don't put it in my bin. I'm finding the news that didn't make the news. I'm Jules Jarry. Oh, damn it. I've stuffed up my own opener.
All right, what's the not news?
Okay, first we cross over to the US where we had our very own reporter on ground with his iPhone detailing the scene he was seeing, but came with an unexpected twist.
A big truck, one of these garbage trucks here, the GFL, gets cut off. It comes across, clips this building. You take a close look inside this, it's a little hard to see, but there's pot in there. It looks like they're illegally growing pot.
Oh.
Yes. Police turned up to the scene and discovered that there was some illegal substances being grown in a factory warehouse. And if you're worried about using proper pronouns for individuals, a human has decided to school us on how to use the proper pronouns as she identifies herself as a bug.
I just added bug to my list of pronouns. So here is a very quick tutorial on how to use bug's pronouns. I'm meeting up with my friend Moth later. Bug just dyed Bug's hair, and it's a super cool green color right now. I think we're going to go to Bug's house and play some video games.
She's taking the piss, right?
No, she isn't. Now, if you thought that was a little bit weird, we head to our own backyard. You think you've just heard it all. A duck has been taught how to speak English. Okay.
Okay. So for me, it's the quality of audio you bring to the air.
Okay, let me explain. A duck has been trained how to say "you bloody fool."
Okay.
And I just think that's probably the most Aussiest thing ever. And that is the best audio that I could get of this duck saying, "You bloody fool."
So, Jules, just in the future, when you present audio for on air, maybe close your eyes and not watch the video and see if it makes sense.
You bloody fool.
I'm glad you could hear it.
No? Oh, okay.
That was the not news on Weekend Breakfast.
Now, for anyone that has accidentally sent a message to the wrong person, you would totally understand that feeling of, you know, oh no, oh no, 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 no.
That TikTok song.
So, is it not the worst feeling?
I mean, I don't think I've ever been stuck in a moment where I've sent an inappropriate photo or something. I've just sent, like, you know, silly stuff, nothing too incriminating.
Okay. Well, this is what happened to me during the week. As you know, I am not having much luck on the dating scene. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when it comes to trust, I think my biggest problem is trust, because when it comes to trusting guys, I'm like, oh, I question everything, right? Mm. Now, what happened was I'd matched with this guy on Hinge and we exchanged numbers, texting back and forth, but I found that his texting was a little bit odd in like the times that he was, you know, texting, and when we would organize to call, he was never at home, that kind of thing. And I was having a conversation with one of my best friends about it, to which he said to me, "Why don't you Google his number and find out if he is who he really says he is? You know, a Facebook page is going to pop up, or it's going to go to find my number and it'll have his name. And then I'd be able to clarify that, you know, he is who he says he is, and not married with a couple of kids."
It's a fake number. It was Masala Indian Chicken on Parramatta Road, wasn't it?
No, because I'd been texting this guy.
Okay.
I screenshotted it and sent it to the guy instead of sending it to my best friend with the result of me in the find the number.
You can follow that up with something, can't you? With a joke? How did you react?
I actually wrote, "I want you to prove to me who you actually are."
Okay. Did he take the bait?
No, he didn't write back at all. And I was like, well, why would you? Here's this psycho that's actually stalking your number, and you've only been talking for you've been talking for like 48 hours.
So we don't know when you sent the text to the wrong person. We've got Greg in Brisbane. What's your story, mate?
Yeah, I was actually organising a date with a girl during the day, earlier in the day, and talking to a mate a little bit later. And I was at the gym and just get ready for the gym.
Yeah.
Saw a big surprise in the toilet cubicle, so I took a photo of that and sent it to my mate. I thought it was my mate. And basically ruined the date for the night.
Oh, no. Did you still go on it?
What, sorry?
Did you go? Sorry. Angus is turning red. He can't breathe. Did you still go on the date, or that was done?
No. A few conversations later, sort of, it didn't really work out. No.
Okay.
That way.
Didn't want to invite her for just change it up to chocolate ice cream.
Just thinking about
the
you.
Soft that's, what you from Maccas.
That's what you should have followed it up with.
Rebecca and Toowoomba, you sent the wrong text to who?
I did. I sent the wrong text to my boss. So I was in the middle of texting my partner, having a conversation with my partner, and then my boss messaged me about like some work stuff. Mm-hmm. And so instead of texting my partner, I texted my boss that I loved him and that I'll see him tonight.
Good. Love that.
Love that.
Leslie in Hervey Bay, you text who?
I text my auntie, and it was quite explicit. It was meant for my partner as well.
Uh-huh.
And it went into quite some detail of, some adventurous stuff.
Ooh. Oh.
Needless to say, I've never looked my aunt in the eye again.
Not safe for radio either.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Where were you looking at your partner that night?
Pardon?
Don't worry.
Jeez, Gus is having a moment here. Okay, I just want to have a little talk about casual racism. Now, this has come from the latest cancel culture situation with Georgia Love. And if you're unaware of what's happened, earlier in the week in her Insta story, she posted a video of a cat in a Chinese restaurant with the text over the top that said server or lunch. Now, firstly, if you think that this isn't racist, you're a part of the problem. And from my point of view, there is nothing bloody casual about it. Did I take offense to it? No. Did I find it funny? No. I thought, geez, how original. Asians eating cats. I've seen and have heard it all before. Side note, some of us also eat rats, dogs, and bats. And that's been my response for the majority of my life. I make countless remarks about being Asian on this show. In fact, all my shows. Even last week, Gussie, when you were asked what color I remind you of and you responded with yellow, and my first response back to you was, oh, is that because I'm Asian? Like, I am the result of so-called harmless casual racism. I'm so defensive about who I am that my first reaction is self-deprecation and humor to take the edge off it. And I know that I'm not the only Asian that does this. We've all said and have heard some form of racism. It's ignorant to think that it doesn't exist. And unfortunately, racism is always going to exist in some form. I've heard it all. And for those of you that don't know, I am Filipino. From harsh comments that I've come over on a boat that my mum's a mail order bride, to using a shoelace as a blindfold, to being called a ladyboy. And the one I hate the most, oh, you're too pretty to be an Asian. I'm not playing the victim here. And there are no winners except maybe Nadia Bartel, who's just relieved that the spotlight isn't on her for what's happened in the week before. But I just want to reiterate how it actually feels and why us as Asians do this, why we self-deprecate. I want you to think about something about yourself that you cannot change. And people keep pointing that out to you over and over again. It becomes like a negative in a derogative way. You're the butt end of every joke and you're the minority. You become so self-conscious of it, you start to become ashamed and embarrassed because of it. And this is what it's like for most Asians living in the Western world, being subjected to this so-called casual racism. For Georgia Love, I personally don't accept your apology because I highly doubt you educated yourself in the 5 minutes that this video was posted before getting called out for it and deleting it and then posting up a half-assed apology when you realize that this would affect your influencer endorsement deals. And to find out that, shockingly, this isn't even the first time you've done this, I actually feel extremely sorry for you that you thought that this kind of behavior is appropriate and that you're not actually mature enough to address it within yourself. But do I believe that you should be canceled? No. I do believe that this whole cancel culture thing should be replaced with critical thinking. We would have far more empathetic conversations rather than emotional reactions. And by talking, we learn to separate these ignorant decisions with actual hate. But this is where I need to stop and what I do in my general day-to-day life of putting myself down. With that aside, if there's one thing I want you to take away from this, I want you to know that it starts with you. I've been in countless situations in the past where I'm in a group and someone makes a casual racist remark and I've laughed it off like the rest of them. I want you to pull that person up, say something. Because if calling someone out or being called out for racism makes you feel uncomfortable, I want you to imagine how the person hearing it feels.
Dylan, Jules, and Angus. This is Weekend Breakfast.